It's okay. It's okay. He won't hurt us. He would have killed me by now. Okay? I think it's because we're not actually part of the movie. He doesn't really know what to do with us.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. I'm Oscar. With me today is...
Ralph.
Right. And what we are three friends who review movies on a bi-weekly basis, usually new or newish. Usually three. And we in there in between, we do bonus episodes, marathons, and whatnot. Today is going to be a strange episode. It's not coming out in a typical basis. We're reviewing this only a few days after the Oscar ceremony. And that's what we're going to be talking about. That's our main topic today. And we'll also discuss a few, if not more than a few, of the movies we've been watching over the last 2 months that we have not been able to talk about, given our top 10 shows last month, as well, or the month before last month, and the break that we had in between. So we're going to be just talking about just random title movies and stuff, and just have a discussion in general. We're not going to review anything. I really wanted to to review Annihilation, but it was hard to find someone to talk to because that movie has a lot to talk about.
Oh, really?
So many discussions. I have so many ideas and so many questions. I want to hash it out, you know.
Ask Josue.
He's seen it?
I think he has.
Damn kid. All right, maybe I'll get him in here. Anyway, so without further ado, let's get started on this kind of rather, it's almost like a bonus episode in itself, but it's not technically
almost,
bonus.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Only it's free.
So we're going to talk about the Oscar ceremony. I believe it's the 90th Oscar Academy Awards.
I saw 90s everywhere, so I would assume so.
Yes. All right, so... let's talk about the ceremony first. What did you think of the ceremony?
I thought someone came out a winner that day, and they got a jet ski.
Wasn't it the best? Was the costume guy? Or
I think it was costume or makeup, one of those two guys.
Yeah. That was really funny. He looked really excited.
He did look really excited, yeah.
So
I thought it was more tamed, but at the same time still talking about... They still talked about things, or they brought... They brought things up.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Topics or things that... But overall, it was actually kind of short. And I'm not complaining, but...
Kind of. It was hella short.
Yeah. Overall, short.
What do you mean by tame?
Tame, I meant I didn't see anybody going out there and being like... pushing agendas. Mentioning something. They would mention something, but very little. It was like, oh, we're going to mention it, and that's it. We're going to walk away from it. You should be doing this. We should be doing that, and that's it. And they walked away. They didn't really push it. They didn't really, go into details about anything crazy. Mm. I think Frances McDormand is the only one who did the most. And even then, she just more, wanted inclusiveness, and she just wanted to show people, mm-hmm. Other than that, that's it.
Yeah. Hers was definitely the biggest one. A few of the jokes relate to that kind of thing. They talk about in the opening act.
I think Jimmy Kimmel did more than anybody else.
Well, I guess that makes sense. He has the most screen time, I guess. So, his jokes were akin to the Harvey Weinstein scandal and so on. So a lot of that was there, and not to mention the mistake from last year from calling. For mistakenly putting La La Land in his best pictures.
Yeah.
That was really funny. It had some great stuff in there. But yeah, you're right. I guess that's what you mean by 10, then definitely. And short, definitely. By 2 hours at least.
Not that. Really? Is it that much?
It's been, in the past, it has been a midnight ending showing. That's a normal thing, midnight to end then. That's normal.
Okay.
So. They went through them. They must have gone through them fast. Did they have any... full disclosure real quick. I had to work. I couldn't get out till 9:30, 10. So I got here till a little after 10. And
You weren't really that worried. You didn't seem that worried.
About what?
About, missing out on it. Because you thought you would get at least a good portion of the end of it, right?
Oh, really? I was like, oh, man, they'll start like 7 or 8. They're going to take forever. They have so many commercials. So, based on last year and the year before.
You know what? Maybe it was a lack of commercials this year.
It seems like there were way less. When I came here, there was only one commercial break I saw.
To be honest with you, I can't remember many commercials. They only did a really big break when they did the skit of going to see the people. Or it wasn't even a skit. When they went to go see the people in the other theater.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, they had two commercial breaks for them to do it, to then them come back.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, it seems like this last because of how short it was by the end of it. And then, not to mention, I think they had, other than that skit, did they have any other big production? Did they show all the songs?
They did show all the songs. Okay. Every single song. played by their.
Did they do any like retrospective stuff?
Yeah, they did a one retrospective, and it was Eddie Vedder who did in the song of oh my god, I forgot the name of the song, by somebody else, another famous musician who passed away this year.
Okay. Well, a lot of that going on.
Yeah, I'll pull it up right now for you, but go ahead.
Did they have the death thing?
In Memoriam. That was the In Memoriam. It was with Eddie Vedder doing a song for the In Memoriam.
Oh, okay. In Memoriam is always, coming.
It was about Tom Petty.
Tom Petty.
Gotcha. Room at the Top. That was the name of the song. That was the song.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it seems like they had they hit all the traditional stuff, but I guess they just must have done it in a faster pace.
Yeah. I only saw like half an hour of the red carpet. I didn't see anything there.
The red carpet is one thing.
But red carpet is like from 3 p.m. to like when it starts.
Yeah. Are people sitting, like, if you're the first one there, are you sitting in there from 3 to 7 to 4 to start?
Probably.
How does that work? Come on. No way.
I think you're just allowed to go backstage and just chill.
Right. Are those people who get in early, get all the good food or something?
I would assume so. I don't know.
I know they have, like, a spread and shit. They always talk about that. And drinks and course, like,
Sure.
Okay. That's why everyone's so sauce and happy and heated when they win, because, like, they've been there for hours already drinking. Anyway. So that part of the ceremony, and Jimmy Kimmel returning consecutively. What did you think of him?
He felt more like he didn't want to. You could tell he definitely toned down on like the bitty parts that he wanted to do. He still had jokes. I thought he was fine.
Does he do a lot of bits in his own show?
I thought he was professional. No, he's always been that kind of personality.
Okay.
But I think overall, since he's had his kid, it's been like a year or two now, 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of been like a little bit toned down. Is not as aggressive with his like humor. Not to say his humor isn't bad or anything, and not to say his jokes aren't bad. They're good. But like I said, this one it felt a little bit more professional. And it also felt like it wasn't that he was reserved. I just felt like he wanted to, he trimmed the fat of his last performance at the Oscars.
Hmm.
And he definitely just went with, this is what it,
It seems like Jimmy Kimmel.
And it worked out. Like some of the stuff he did worked out. I love the jet ski bit. Like they did it twice. And it just wasn't that long, though. They introduced a jet ski.
Yeah, right? I had to watch the opening act on YouTube after, but I've only seen that into the other bit.
And then a little bit after, not even a little bit after, halfway through, they're like, okay, so to more incentive for you guys, like tell them what we got, right? And he brings it up again, and he's like, a trip to somebody else so you can take your jet ski, like to a lake or whatever.
Right. It'd be funny if it was like Alaska. Take your jet ski to Alaska.
No, it was something dumb, though. Like Yeah.
Okay. That'd be funny, though. Like, the ponds of Wisconsin. I don't know if there's
By the way, that jet ski, really expensive. Like, $19,000, according to
Is that expensive for a jet ski? I have no idea. For me, anything like... for me, a luxury is a luxury.
$19,000 is like a car. You buy a jet ski?
Well, I don't know. I don't know shit. Or maybe it does your homework for you.
I don't think so.
So I think that as far as choices of Jimmy Kimmel, it's a safe bet. I'm thinking if that's the best way to go for the Academy, right? In future, when I think of the future years, right, from now or the ones in the past where they try different things. I know that 1 year that they tried to get Eddie Murphy in, and I think there was not a scandal, but like he dropped out or he got fired from the job.
Something
like that happened.
I got a feeling Chappelle's going to do it 1 year.
No, he'll never do it.
I think so.
He's way too controversial. He'll never do it.
I think they'll do it. I think he'll do it.
No, why would you? I mean, get me wrong. I would kind of like to see that.
I think Chappelle's on the up and up right now.
No, but he's too dirty and too like rebel against the cause thing.
Dirty?
Yeah, no, he is. He's too, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking that how many, like, they have dark comedians, there are stand-up people, there's whatever.
They got to do a black guy soon.
There's performers out there. I can see Chris Rock doing it.
Who?
I can see Chris Rock doing it, because he wouldn't bring his, like...
No, I don't see Chris Rock. Chris Rock's not, like, out there as much as Chappelle is right now.
What do you mean? Who cares about who's out there? They don't give a shit about that.
Yeah, they do.
Jimmy Kimmel is not out there either.
Jimmy Kimmel has a show that comes out every night.
So?
That's out there.
Yeah, but...
That's doing something consistently. Chris Rock brings out a movie one every 5 years or something.
What are you talking about? He just had a special.
Exactly.
Oh, he just had a special.
And Dave Chappelle had a special like 2 years ago, and now he has like triple specials or something, and he's doing stuff all the time. He's out there.
Yeah, his last one.
He puts himself out there.
Why are you defending him so much?
I'm just saying.
You sound like his fucking fanboy Facebook page.
PR agent.
No, you don't sound like a PR agent.
No, I don't.
You don't sound like you get paid.
I do not get paid.
No. You're just a fanboy. Why?
No. I was just saying.
It's weird.
It'd be an interesting choice.
Yeah, it won't happen.
Why wouldn't it?
It just won't.
I guess.
But anyway, what I'm fucking trying to say here is that...
I've been trying to stop. You keep coming at me.
You know who fucking says things. Getting someone like Kimmel is like the safe bet, It's like the lowest common denominator kind of thing. Like, sure. It's the thing that will make most people happy.
I guess.
Like a scattershot of happiness as opposed to a lot of laser shot, right? So, which is not to say he's bad or great or anything. I mean, he's not bad, definitely. He's not bad at all. I'm just thinking, like, maybe that's the kind of the best way. Like, do you want them to take chances on their host like that? Or do you want them to pick, like, the Kimmels on the Fallon?
I want to pick somebody who isn't afraid to bring things up. And I like the Kimmel to brush stuff up right away in the beginning. And obviously, you know, like, everything
well, the writers of the awards, too.
Sure. No, I get that, right? Yeah. But, I mean, in the end, you have still green light what you're going to say and how do you bring things up. But at the same time, I do like that he brings it up, that he brought it up. I don't know. I rather have somebody who brings it up than not. You can't not talk about something, especially, like, you know, with the Time's Up movement, Me Too movement, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost next to impossible to not bring it up in something like that where it kind of generated from them, you know, from that industry.
Yeah. Well, I think that it could have been anyone up there. Even Dave Chappelle would mention it.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I know they would get it. But I think somebody else who pushes a little bit more is willing to talk a little bit more about it also. Hmm.
Mayhaps. Okay. One thing I like is that I like every year being different, though.
What do you mean?
I like a different host every year.
You like a different host every year? Yeah. I don't mind every 2 years we get a new host, if that's the case. I don't mind having two consecutive, because the first time you could kind of like, you don't know what you're doing or whatever.
No, you could bring someone back, but I like the variety of it.
The variety of every year to be just different? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had Whoopi for like 7 years in a row.
Yeah, I didn't like that very much.
I liked her, like 3 out of those 7.
I mean, we were kids. Watch it again, see how much.
I liked her 3 out of the 7.
The first three?
I think so.
Yeah. That's okay. What you just proved my point. Who else did a bunch of them? Billy Crystal did a bunch.
Billy Crystal's always funny.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. The old. No. There was another major one. Jon Stewart did one.
I'm not too sure.
I thought you did. Anyway, sorry, doesn't matter. Okay, let's talk about the actual winners here in the nominations. What did overall, how did you feel?
I felt like I was kind of right on a couple things, on quite a few things, on what they were going to choose to do. Mm-hmm. I knew they had to give something to get out. And I think the safest bet was to give it what it won, which is...
Which is what?
Best screenplay.
Best?
Best. Yeah. Best screenplay. I just could. I was thinking best writer, but...
That's same thing, really.
Sure it is, but no, I mean, you give it to the person who wrote it. If there's multiple people get it.
Right. I think that Get Out's biggest strength has always been the script.
Sure.
I was locked in for me. That's why I definitely put it down as well.
Yeah, that's why I was just like, I mean, I think that was the safest bet. Yeah. For it to win Best Director or Best Picture was really hard. Especially what it was going up against.
Would have been hard.
And especially what kind of, like, we just know the Oscars don't like horror movies. So, like.
Right. I mean, the last time a horror director won something for a horror movie.
Exorcist?
No, it was Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. Oh, yeah, shit. I guess, yeah.
And back then, Jodie Foster could walk. See her peg leg thing?
Yes. What
the hell? Peg leg thing. That was funny how she, the whole Tanya, and she Tanya Harding me.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep. Anyway. I was really glad for Get Out to win that one. That was my choice, and that was the one that seemed like the most obvious. So, what about Adapted? Let's go with Adapted Screenplay. This is the one where I said, if you guys remember last week when we recorded the pre-Oscar thing, I said, Call Me By Your Name's gotta get something, and I think it'll get screenplay.
See, I didn't know anything about it, and actually, I was really.
I haven't seen it either, but yeah,
I didn't know anything about this movie though. And actually, as I started seeing more, because you know, basically, you get like the gist of the movie as his nominations goes by. So if the movie has at least 4 nominations, and you get to see a little bit of different parts of it. So if it's an actor, you get to see an acting part of the nomination, right, of the movie. If it's a screenplay, you get to see a good part of the movie. That's something that's very standout-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
If it's cinematography, you see a cool scene, right? Like, yeah. If it's best picture, you see probably the best scene or what they think is the best scene in the movie or the most important scene.
Yeah.
Likewise for director and stuff like that. So you kind of get to see like a good portion of the movie, right? So you're like,
not likewise for director. How can you pick? Is this a well directed 3 seconds?
That's a similar. For director, no. Like director, I'm saying best picture and director are almost very similar scenes. No.
Okay.
So you get to see it. It was nominated for just about all those things, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And as I kept seeing it, I was like, oh man, I'm actually kind of afraid because I think it's like, and it's cool when it's pushing for. And I was like, oh man, it might actually win. I didn't think it was because I didn't know anything about the movie. I didn't know it was going to win screenplay. But I was getting closer, so I was like, oh, it might actually win actor. And I was like, but just because of that.
Yeah.
But
No, adapted screenplay. It seems like the best place for it to win something. Because they don't mind the rest not winning.
Yeah, though.
Like, it's not competing against the best pictures like Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, 3 Billboards. It's competing with... Like, Call Me By Your Name is the main competition there.
Right. I mean, what's really interesting is when it came out, when you're looking at the first half of the ceremonies, you don't really get, because you're getting a lot of the technical achievements.
Yeah.
So you get the Dunkirks, right? You get the Blade Runner 2049 and stuff like that. But you don't get any of the other movies, right? 3 Billboards. Get Out wasn't nominated for any of those things, right? But, like, when you see them, and they're like, all of a sudden, you're about to hear the repeats, guys. This is where they all are, right? Mm-hmm. And the one movie you did see, the constantly, which was nominated like 15 times, which was The Shape of Water.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was also, on top of being well-directed and acted, it's also well, like, make-upped and scored.
Exactly.
And
so it was in everything as well, right?
Yes.
So that being said, that was in everything. And you're like, oh, okay, but you didn't hear any of the other ones. And then, like, literally, like, the last half of the award ceremony was just, like, the heavy hitters. And you're like, oh, there's no competition. Like, there's no. Like, once you hear the movies, you're like, and you see the, like, there's no way. There's no competition. Like, you just can't compete versus those four, like, mega ones out there.
Yeah.
The ones I saw, anyway.
Yeah, there's definitely other years where they feel more scattershot than this. Like, you don't know who's going to win anything.
Sure.
And by this year, it's more centralized to 3-4 films, for sure. It feels more there. Sometimes there's a year where they're like, only one movie's going to clearly win everything.
Yeah. Yeah, overall, I thought everything was a safe bet. Everything they gave was a safe bet, and Mexico wins. That's it.
Yeah. We think of Blade Runner winning too.
I think it should have won it. Like, I think the stuff that it was nominated for.
Visual effects. I'm trying to remember the bit. Yeah, definitely the hologram stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looked great.
I guess, yeah. Talking about the makeout scene, the her scene, right? Man, that alone.
Right.
So difficult. Dunkirk gets sound editing and sound mixing, which, you know, I know even less about sound stuff, so.
Right. For me, it's the same thing. Sure. But I know it's not, but.
But I know it's not, and I'm sure it's a hard job.
It is a hard job, but the thing is, like, sound mixing for me, and I'm maybe right, and I hope I am right, is how everything in
general. Dunkirk might be the loudest movie,
right? I definitely had to lower the volume on my fucking TV to watch the movie, but it's everything put together when you're watching it, right? All the sounds, all of it, and all, right?
Yeah,
that's mixing, and editing is how it all works together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's about it. But it's almost a similar thing for me. So,
yeah, I hear you. We think of, then we got a Coco winning for. I mean, Coco was the obvious one for because it's Pixar, but also because of the amount of love that movie got extra because of the whole not just the Mexican angle, but the Day of the Dead angle, the idea of this ancestors and traditions and talks of that.
Sure,
it's like that kind of movie. It won for best song also. Remember Me, which...
I don't know. Best song, I don't think it should have won.
I don't think... It seems like the competition wasn't that much. I'm not...
Mary J. Blige's
song. I would have picked different songs.
Mary J. Blige's was good, and so was Sufjan Stevens' song, which is the one from Call Me By Your Name. Or Sufjan Stevens, whatever.
Sorry, I don't know that one, but I'm saying is, like, I'm sure there are...
Well, I heard the performances, and I was just like...
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you heard it.
I heard the performances, and I was like, oh, it's a really good song.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know how it was performed throughout the movie. Obviously, Remember Me is a big standout one in the movie. It's basically the whole freaking part of the movie. It's a big plot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Plot.
Yeah, they even had, what's his name, sing it, start off with the Gael Bernal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that?
I just did.
All right. So, yeah, those are good. I mean, overall, I like the Coco winning, stuff like that. It won two, so that's good. I think for the score, Shape of Water, I mean, compared to... Oh, well, you haven't seen any of these movies.
It did win score, right? What was the rest? What was the other nominees?
Score was... the nominees were Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Star Wars, and the 3 Billboards. I really like the Star Wars, you know, the reinvention of that whole thing.
I do like it. Yeah. His own score. I just think people like it's hard to give it to Star Wars.
I know because they're like it can't compete to. I mean, well, that's not how it works.
It's not even
but
it's yeah, exactly.
I would have loved to give it to Johnny Greenwood, honestly, for Phantom Thread. I mean, you listen to that score and you think that they are. You think it's from a different year, but it was made new, right? But sure. Like you think it's from a different era, and it's not. And it's really good. I don't know about Dunkirk. Like I said, the sound was loud, so sure. I don't know if that makes the same thing.
Right.
Unfortunately, nothing to say on foreign language movies. I think Fantastic Woman is about to come out somewhere, I think, on Netflix or something. It might be out already, actually, The Fantastic Woman. Chile winning again. Chile was winning a few, actually, over the last several years. And they have some. The South America has Chile and Argentina making some really big movies, some really good movies that everyone's talking about in general. And they're making, they're producing some good filmmakers down there. So they're gonna have some competition soon. Everyone else, film editing. This was strange. I mean, that's strange for me, like because I feel like a big movie. I feel like a bigger movie was gonna get it anyway. But it just felt like Baby Driver was a no-brainer to me.
I thought it should have been.
But
yeah.
Dunkirk won. That's Dunkirk's biggest win also is film editing.
Yeah, film editing is his biggest win for sure. But
which is his biggest flaw for me, by the way. But,
yeah. Right, we talked about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly it's just me. Well, not just me, but it's a small group of people who believe that. It's not like everybody believes that. I can't talk about the shorts of any of these. But Icarus won the only documentary I saw won for the...
I didn't even see it, and I knew it was going to win.
Oh, why? How did you know? You know before? You know because of the clips they showed?
No, before.
Okay. Why did you think?
Because of the... the topic. Sorry. I was thinking title, but I was like, that's not the reason at all.
Olympian cheating?
Yeah, I mean, what it did for... I mean, it made...
You know, it's funny because Icarus seems to be like the one out of all these documentaries. Two of them I've never heard of before. Not before today, but before the nominations. Mm-hmm. Is the only one that I feel like has had an actual impact in the news.
Right.
So that's why
it made more sense. That's why I mean.
And it's the only one I saw, so I picked that one.
Right. I didn't need to watch the movie because I was told the movie already. Right. So yeah.
Right. So and people love picking political things like that.
Sure. Yeah. You
know, they just love it.
Right.
Costume design, Phantom Thread, the Doi, but you know anyway. Cinematography: Roger Deakins finally getting it for Blade Runner. Finally, after what 14, 15?
14 nominations.
Yes, that's insane. We should do a Roger Deakins marathon.
Can't even. What did you think of his acceptance speech?
I thought his hair spoke really well about his own mother. Roger Deakins himself, though, that wasn't very interesting. But his hair was wonderful. His hair spoke very eloquently.
Well, I mean, the best thing was like he just goes to my wife, James. Yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah.
What?
And as the camera cut to the wife,
and she's like, yeah, whatever.
When he was saying whatever, yeah. And it was really funny. Yeah, I guess Roger Deakins. You know what? Yeah, he's like a nerd. Like you don't bring a nerd out on stage, you know. Like he's a great fucking cinematographer.
What's really funny is that
pot in his room right now.
I just think at this point though, he's like, I'm just here.
Oh no, he's already established himself. He could do whatever the fuck he wants.
I'm saying at this point for him going to the Oscars was just like I'm never gonna win. Like let's be realistic. I've done 13 other movies.
Maybe he takes shots for every loss he didn't get, every win he didn't get, and that's why he's so fucking weird when he comes
could
up.
Could be, yeah.
He has 14 shots.
Right. I don't know. I just.
Anyway, that's I loved it. I wouldn't have accepted anyone else honestly other than Blade Runner for that one. just so well. I mean, so good. Okay, let's talk about the actors nominated. The actors winning here. Let's talk about let's go with the women first. We have Frances and Allison Janney. So Three Billboards and I, Tonya. I, Tonya's only win, I think.
Yes. I, Tonya didn't have much nominations.
I know that you guys predicted that, and you guys said that she's the clear winner. But
what did you want there?
Well, no, I wanted Leslie Manville. Or hell, I'll even take Laurie Metcalf.
I didn't see that performance. I can't tell you for best supporting.
Supporting, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have taken the girl from Phantom Thread, the sister of...
Didn't see that movie either.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
But that performance, that scene was really powerful that they showed. for her.
What was the scene?
It was a scene where Daniel Day-Lewis, she's talking, and then Daniel Day-Lewis cuts her off.
And she's like, don't ever do that.
Don't ever do that to me. Yeah, exactly.
I knew they were going to put that, I guess. Yeah. That's the one time you see her, actually.
So you knew the scene, but instead you still wanted me to tell you.
I didn't think of if I knew the scene or not until you started describing it. Then I'm like, okay, I know which one. Laurie Metcalf,
funny.
What scene did they show again?
They showed her in the car.
Oh, that
one. Yeah, telling her daughter that she's like, telling her daughter that she might as well go to community college,
yeah,
go to jail, then go back to community college to finish or whatever.
And you think of Saoirse Ronan, you know, that one was a harder competition for me because I really wanted her to win. The clip they showed was like, give me a number and I'll pay you back when I get older. It was that scene they showed for her. Was there so many more? I would have picked any of them anyway. Yeah. Sally Hawkins, I think, and Frances all had equal shares in shot. I would split the vote. That's how hard it is for me to pick.
Yeah, Frances was a really powerful one for me. But I kind of really wanted What's Her Name to win from Shape of Water.
Sally Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins was just a really great performance.
And Sally Hawkins also, as a professional actress, she's strangely like up and down on the rise. Like she's had her moments for sure. She was in that I think her last not big break, but her biggest role, famous. I mean, is that Blue Jasmine? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember.
I think she was
in that. I can't even remember.
She was supporting, and she was nominated for supporting. She was the best friend of Kate Blanchett. And came out
movie like 2 years after it came out or something.
Oh, really? I saw that year. It was really good. And the acting performance was the best part. And sorry, Woody, not the writing this time. But anyway, the acting were the best part. And and I really liked her in it. And that's when I was like, oh, I've seen her in these little things before. Oh. And she was like basically kind of like the Richard Jenkins for me, right? Like, oh, you know that person. You've seen her in things.
Okay. Yeah.
And she's strangely like, she also can just jump ages. Like she looks younger and different in Shape of Water than she does 3 years ago in Blue Jasmine or Four Jasmine, you know, or whatever. And it's and then when you see her real age number, I forget what it was, it's like way different than you think it is. And like, oh, this is an ambidextrous woman here. Got here. And she can play almost anything. Yeah. And I really wanted her to win personally. But I'm glad. I'm happy with Frances.
Yeah, I'm happy with Frances also.
She's also really good. Did you like the thing she did when she was like, was it freaking out, and then she calmed down, did that stare like in Three Billboards?
Yeah.
She gets all serious. That was kind of fun.
Yeah. I totally forget she won in Fargo for her role in Fargo.
The opposite role?
Yeah, the opposite role, which is really funny. Yeah.
It's opposite world. Yeah, it made me want to see Fargo. Because what they did is
they
showed.
I didn't need to have to watch that because I saw it. I saw like a really. Okay. One of my favorite scenes with her, which.
I think I'm going to barf. No.
It's okay. It's right when they see they leave the crime scene, right? The first time. And then the guy's like, yeah, I looked up these license plates. And
that's the scene right after.
He's like, I see the license plates. And he's like, the
DLR.
He's like, I think they might be dealer license plates. And then she's like,
I don't agree with your police work there.
Exactly. It's just so funny.
The nicest way to tell them that you're wrong.
Exactly.
Bitch.
Like, how did you not think of that? It's like, anybody else would have been like, so did you not think of dealer plates? Yeah. And would have been like, you're an idiot. Like, but that's just really nice. It's one of my favorite scenes.
Right? Yeah, exactly. I'm with you on that. So let's go with the anyway, so what I was going to say before is that there was every time for the best acting roles, they would show clips of all the year's winners from those roles. And every time they showed the Fargo, Frances McDormand, because I could tell the movie instantly, I only want to see Fargo now. Anyway, maybe I want to see Fargo.
They did a really good thing also. They did one of the things during the middle of the show or a little bit before halfway through the show or something. Mm-hmm. I can't remember because some of it just blurred through. But they showed a bunch of clips from like all ages for during some of the categories. So like for supporting, I think they showed like a minute clip of great supporting, like big movies. Of supporting characters, so that's what they would do. They would introduce it with like, you know, all these amazing supporting roles, and you're like, oh, this I've seen half of those movies. Same thing with best like directing. One threw me off because I was like, oh, this is gonna be cinematography. I was like, it was editing or something. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, okay.
I guess they didn't cut that. That's a good job.
Right. I was like, okay. It was like really, really, really weird.
Because a lot of editing is like not just when to cut, but when not to cut.
Yeah, but they didn't do it for everyone. They did it for like only the really big ones. So they did it for screenplays, cinematography, editing, apparently.
See, I feel like I should go like on YouTube and rewatch some. Watch some of these for the first time, I should say. Most of them I missed. But watch some of them just for the clips that they had for it. Because sometimes they do like really shitty jobs of like saying it, and like, okay, fine. But it looks like this year I really liked the way they were set up every domination.
Was really cool. Yeah, everything was same professional. Doubled down on that because they were really unprofessional last year.
It was just one fuck up, guys.
It's really unprofessional.
It was just one fuck up.
Really unprofessional.
Oh my God.
All it takes is one fuck up for us to never forget.
Oh my God. It's like the cosmic equivalent of a fucking waitress just spilling her fucking martinis on the customer. It's not the end of the world.
Sure.
Okay. Let's do the actors, which we got Sam Rockwell and Gary Oldman.
Sam Rockwell.
That's the hardest nomination for me.
But I think like if you pick between Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell, Sam Rockwell definitely deserves it more than Woody. Don't get me wrong.
I know what you mean.
And don't get me wrong. Woody Harrelson's performance was really great.
I mean, he needed it for – he should have gotten it for True
Woody Detective. Harrelson's performance also was just like, okay, I've seen this performance in just about every other movie also. Like, you're cock. Like, you know, like, you just come off like a cock. I don't know what you want me to
say. Wait, you mean Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, but he's not, though. That's the whole point.
You know, I get it. That's what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying. Like, he always has that, like, bravado to
him. I mean, for me, Dafoe and Jenkins.
I didn't see that movie. So
we'll watch it. See, I think Dafoe and Jenkins deserved it more than Rockwell.
Don't get me wrong. I wanted Jenkins also, but I mean Rockwell. I think.
I hope Rockwell is going to get some good movies now because. Yeah.
Well, I think he had an acceptance speech. He said he's like, because he's done like all the movies with this guy, with the director, right?
Oh yeah, he has. Yeah,
he's both. Right. He's like, well, they're ready for 10 more, man. Like,
ready, Martin McDonagh.
Keep going, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, every single movie, I think. Yeah. No. Well, not in Bruges.
No, not in Bruges.
No. That was the other guy, Gab, but that was in like, that's, what's his name?
Total Recall remake.
That's the movie.
That's the movie I was watching it earlier today.
Okay. Well, I hope that's why you said that. Okay. So, and then we got Gary Oldman winning against Kaluuya, Washington, Chalamet, and Daniel Day-Lewis. We're okay with that.
With who?
We both saw The Darkest Hour recently. So how do you feel?
I mean, I didn't see it until like literally like a week ago, and yeah, it's a really good performance. I mean, the movie basically relies on his performance completely. So,
I mean, all of these movies do. The only one that has moving parts that doesn't rely on just the main actor is Get Out.
Yeah,
but Daniel Kaluuya also kills it. So.
Right, he does a great job.
I haven't seen that Roman J. Israel Esquire. Oh my God, that's a fucking terrible title for a movie. Never again. But Daniel Day-Lewis, I mean, it's relied on the performances. I mean, I should say him, the main girl, and his sister.
Yeah, like Darkest Hour. There's nobody else besides him.
What are you saying? It zeroes in on one person.
It's a play with a star of one. You know,
it is a star, a single. Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah.
I guess. I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, it's Gary Oldman, for fuck's sake. I shouldn't complain. I'm not complaining, but sure. I'm just saying. Pretty hard.
We forget that he's British.
Well, sometimes I do, and then he talks. I really wanted something more out of his speech. But
in a non-acting way.
I mean, right. This thing, when you realize the actors, like, you know how great they are, and they say the lines, like your favorite lines in the movies, right? And you like, you talk to them in real life, and I'm like, oh, well, dude. They don't have much imagination because, well, they were reading off a script. Like, don't put that much pressure on the guy. They're just regular guys.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably don't have much. Now, the biggest winner out of the whole thing was Shape of Water. Clearly, he won Best Picture directing, some of those little ones. But as far as the big ones, it was just director and picture, right? Didn't win.
Yeah, no, it didn't win.
Win visual effects and win editing. Did not win.
It won score, picture. And
costume design, I believe. Production design. Production design for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the four I won. I think I won four.
Yeah. Score.
Yeah, I said score.
You said score. Okay.
Yeah, no, but the two top ones were directing and Best Picture.
Yeah, so
those are really big movies.
I mean,
those are really
big
ones.
It's the year for...
I always forget that Best Picture goes to the producers.
Yes, the producers. Usually a big movie like this, you know what's funny is that sometimes they add on names like other producers, you know, like they'll add on... Del Toro's name because he's trying to sell the movie to Academy people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So like that's producing. That's essentially, you know, putting whatever. That's doing a lot of things for it. So they'll add names to it, and that's why so many people get the award at the end of the show. But yeah, producers is like you know, it's the first step in making a movie. Essentially, they're the first step because they have to get all the money. And
yeah. Don't get me wrong, but I it's just most people think that the producer, the director, along with producers get it, but it's not always the case.
No, it's not always the case.
Sometimes it is, right? And this, obviously, this is a passion project for Guillermo, right?
Yeah.
And it's his movie anyway, which all of his movies are his movies, right? Yeah. He's going to produce it as much as he's going to direct it, as much as he's going to write it.
Right. Like, yeah, he does all three quadrants.
Exactly.
For example, like Clint Eastwood, he never writes. He only produces and directs.
Right, exactly.
Same thing with Scorsese. He only produces and directs.
Yeah.
So. But there are a few out there who just write and direct, and they don't produce any of it. Like they get hired for the movie or whatever. Exactly. They get hired to write something or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. So I like that. But yeah, Shape of Water as the main winner. What did
I mean?
About time.
Other than the odds were it should win, it had the most nominations.
I mean, I think it was off by one, right, or something.
What?
It had more nominations by one, or something.
No, I think I had 15.
Yeah, who was the next after that?
It was like 11 or something. Okay. I think. I'm not too sure, though. Okay.
I mean, Dunkirk got a lot of nominations, too. I only won two or three.
Yeah, but Dunkirk only got the tech versions of the nominations.
I'm just saying. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth, I believe, the year that was nominated, probably got the same nominations.
Yeah. I remember you were so jizzed over that movie. Like, all over that movie when it came out. And I was just like, your hopes are just going to get shot down because it's going to be really rare if this thing ever wins anything.
Well, no fight. My hopes were on this movie, too.
Sure, no, I get it, but I think it's we're at different times, you know. You have to like Mexico.
Oh, now it's better? You have to like it?
There's a wall trying to be built, so I mean, come on.
No one's going to build that shit. At best, we're going to build it. Like,
Mexicans are going to build it, yeah.
You know, hire day laborers to build it, and then we're going to purposely put in traps or digging things out, or every third square is removable or something.
Yeah, it'll be a Mexican song rhyme or something that we all know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll come across the border. Yeah.
That's funny. Anyway, I'm really glad for Shape of Water, and obviously it's Guillermo del Toro's year. He's like, he's about time he wins. I know it's not his first time being up there, but like nomination wise.
Yeah,
but
he's just so creative. I mean, you can't knock.
It's a fantasy romance about.
Well, I mean, he just does a great job of world building. Like we spoke about it during our review of the movie.
Yeah,
but I mean,
which is not even out yet because it was a bonus episode. Yeah.
But like, it's just. I mean, he's just so good at world building, and you could tell he puts his time and effort into things. I mean, and it obviously pays out in this one where he just. I mean, I didn't think. A friend of the show, Matt, was going to like this movie. He came out loving it. Like, he's like, I really like that movie. It was a really good movie. He's like, what did you think? I was like, I think I'm surprised at your reactions of this movie.
Yeah, because you can easily see how it can be very frilly and
for people. You can, because it's almost fairy tale-ish. And it is kind of in that stand. It stands. It's kind of shot fairy tale-esque.
Sure. All right, so that's what we feel about the Oscars. We agree with the Shape of Water win, obviously. So last year was for black people. This one's for Mexicans. What's next year? Chinese?
No, the year before that was homosexuals, right? Or transgender or something like that.
What was the winner?
I don't know. Tremaine won something for...
Tremaine?
Daniel Tremaine or whatever that guy is.
Oh, I thought you meant that was the title of a movie.
No. Didn't he win for like somebody going into transgenders or something like that? Or
I just don't
becoming
remember.
A woman?
I just don't remember right now.
I don't know his roles besides the one where he was...
I'm really throwing a blank right now. Sure I know the movies, I just don't remember.
Yeah,
I'm bad. I mean, it seems like, that's the way they're doing it.
That's just the way it is.
No, I mean, I'm sure not directly on purpose. The movies are really good.
This is a year for superhero movies.
Moonlight's also clearly a really good fucking movie. I don't disagree with that. I did not want La La Land to win, so...
No, don't get me wrong, Moonlight was...
I can't wait to watch Moonlight again. I'm not really excited to watch La La Land again. Put it that way.
Right.
Same thing with Shape of Water. I already pre-ordered my Blu-ray, I think. Did I pre-order it? I hope I did. Anyway, so...
But not your 4K HDR?
I don't have a 4K TV.
That's what I failed. You have to think ahead.
All right, so let's get into something different here. That is our review or whatever, the notes on the Oscar ceremony, and we're going to come back next year to talk about it again, of course. But let's move on to something a little different. Ralph, you and I have been watching, we were hoping to get Luke here for this, but timing didn't work out. So we were hoping to catch up on the films that we've been watching over the last two or three months that we haven't been able to catch up on. Tell people what we're watching that aren't reviews, of course.
So I'm not like you. I'm not a robot.
You are.
No, I'm not a robot. I actually am a human being, or as I like to call myself, a meat popsicle. And I usually end up rewatching movies during holiday seasons, a little bit after holiday season, unless something really big comes out, Black Panther, for me to watch. Yeah. Or I need to do something for us to review, but because most of the time it's just not many good movies are out or things that are interesting for me are out. So I try to catch up with movies that I missed out on. I still didn't get to see most of everything because I couldn't get some of the movies. The movies aren't out yet. I can't watch Lady Bird yet. I can't watch. Like those movies are just barely now available to rent and or buy. I've been really busy, obviously, also. New job, new stuff. But I did manage to watch some movies, so nonetheless. Not as many as you. That's why I said I'm not a robot. But yeah.
No, yeah, and you know, I was trying to help you jog your memory because I'm like, it's been like 3 months we haven't talked about
it. Though? Like,
yeah, because I mean, there aren't reviews, and there weren't in your top 10 show stuff, like your top 10 movies.
I mean, you
did catch up on some movies. You try to catch up for your top 10. You also try to catch up for the Oscars. Yeah. There's some movies in there that we haven't talked about, of course.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'll let you ramble shit off, and I'll be like, yeah, I saw that one too.
Well, I want to start off here.
You're starting off for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do two at a time, and you can do one. That way we'll just.
Sure. Yeah, it works great.
And we're just going to talk briefly about it. We're just just general thoughts. I saw Happy Death Day.
Okay. I've been meaning to watch that. How was it? Go ahead.
It's fun.
That's what I thought it was going to be.
There is a level of like stupidity that the movie completely understands that it's tapping into.
See, that's exactly what I was hoping for.
It completely gets it. And the lead actor is actually much more... like her facial expressions are much more wide as far as what her options are than usual run of the mill type of actress in that role anyway, and she is much more expressive than you think she should be, and the movie works out really well, and it's a nice twist at the end when you think it's gonna end. It's like, and they even referenced the movie Groundhog Day.
Oh, good.
At the end of the movie too, it was not heavily, but also heavily in the way they little bit by little, like, you know that they heavily drew from that movie.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
they were inspired.
Yeah.
Like if we were doing our like classics marathon on movies based on other movies, this is a clear contender for that kind of thing.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear.
Fun movie.
Okay.
Not a great movie, but
I heard the same kind of similar thing.
Yeah.
Minus the kind of the details you just gave in. From somebody, they said they had a lot of fun watching the movie, and it was definitely worth the watch. I just wasn't going to see it in theaters. Just like, no.
No, I missed it. I also didn't see it on purpose.
Right, sure, sure.
I wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Another one is that we've been talking about the Oscars. I saw Darkest Hour,
which
I feel like it's, you know, it's just heavily acted. I mean, acting only. I wish... It's one of those things where I want more. It's almost like we're getting we get Dunkirk, which is a on the ground level thing about Dunkirk and what happened there, and then we're getting the decision of how to get these soldiers out from this end and the political side, and I guess we see some of the goings on as to how these decisions were made.
Yeah, what I really liked about the movie is that it shows a pivotal moment for England to progress, and they were obviously stuck in the past.
Yeah,
from World War One.
Also, a lot of the idea of negotiations.
Yeah, and you could tell that even an old man, just that as what's his name? I can't think of his name. The fucking main, the actual person.
The prime minister?
Yeah, the prime minister.
Oh, it's
see what I mean? You can't think of his name.
My God, why? How did you make me forget? I just had it.
Churchill. Yeah. My man.
Nice save.
Anyways, so Winston Churchill, even though he was an older man already, like, it looked like on his deathbed from where we get to this point of the movie.
I just think he has really bad health.
Sure, no, I know he has like bad health. Bad health choices in general.
Choices,
like,
right.
All the time.
Smokes like 50 cigars a day.
Sure, yeah, he's really bad at that.
Yes.
But I'm saying, like, even he knew, like, we need to change. Like, and it takes those type of people to make those changes, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are stuck because you get very comfortable in certain ways. And that's a big thing for England, right? And the movie does a really good point of noting that him standing up for themselves and not getting pushed over and not worrying about dumbass treaties and shit like that, right? Just kind of help them get to where they were. And it is a cool – I had the same problem with the movie where I wanted more because you're just literally getting like a week in the life of Winston Churchill.
I mean, the big success that got him to stay as prime minister throughout the war was his
choices in Dunkirk.
His ability in Dunkirk, right. His choices, right. Which is an operation to get soldiers out of a bad situation. It's not even the actual, like... It's like halfway through the war, really.
Yeah,
it's not even.
What's interesting,
it's like so little
is
of
that
it.
They had most of their soldiers stuck on the other side.
Yeah.
And they needed to get them back. And he made a choice. A leader needed to make a choice. And it was a really good – it's a shitty choice that he had to make. But he had to make that choice. Yeah. And everyone was like, what about honor and this, this, and that? And you're letting people die. Like, dude, I'm letting people live. Like, you're seeing it the other way. I'm seeing it the – like –
Yeah,
and it's just it was a really good performance, and that's what it lied on. It lied on his performance 100%.
Yeah, and yeah, I also like Joe Wright. I've always liked his films. It's bad that he's the last two or three films have not worked out for him. I haven't even seen him because I heard they were bad. Like he did the Pan movie.
I don't even know what that is.
With
the Hugh Peter Jackman. Pan movie.
Yeah, it's called Pan though.
Oh yeah,
I heard it was awful.
I wouldn't even watch that.
I heard it was so awful.
Like, I wouldn't let my kid
watch it. Haven't even seen it yet. I may see it because it's still Joe Wright. Joe Wright makes good movies. He made Hannah, for fuck's sake. Atonement, which has another Dunkirk scene, by the way. Sure. He's obsessed with Dunkirk, and he's obviously an English filmmaker, I believe. He's making all these movies in England. So like, yeah, and I'm glad that this movie got him, you know, more success.
Yeah, a good thing to do, which is kind of what I did, which is watch Darkest Hour, then watch Dunkirk. And you're like, he's got you. Don't worry.
Like you'll be happier though. Yeah,
right. Exactly.
More and more. All right. You got one. That's a.
So you did Darkest Hour already. So.
Oh, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So I'll go. Going. I can go to Dunkirk though. So Dunkirk. Okay. Dunkirk was a. Don't get me wrong. Everything about the movie looks sounds amazing. It's hard to watch. It feels boring and droning, like. And it's a war movie, and I love war movies, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't love war movies, but, like, dude, I can't, like, a movie that I'll never fall asleep through is Patton. And Patton is a movie you probably should fall asleep through because there's just information being thrown at you, like, talking. But it's a really interesting movie to me. And this movie has the opposite, where it's just a lot of action and a lot of crazy stuff going on, but it's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Maybe because that hour that he's up in the air is like 3 days for me, but like it's only an hour. Like
right.
Something feels like the time in this just is really skewed. And then it almost like they focus on in weirder things than I want. I don't know. Editing I didn't really get either. So, but
yeah, I saw.
But what do I know about movies? Apparently, so
no. Yeah, I mean, it's just different styles. I agree with you. I've already said my piece on that. So I'm gonna go on with a much more newer from a movie from this year, Annihilation. I saw on opening week of. This movie is Alex Garland wrote and directed this movie, his second directing film since Ex Machina. And that's the only reason I wanted to see it. I mean, yeah, I like Natalie Portman and all, but she doesn't draw me into a movie necessarily. The filmmakers do.
Yeah.
And Alex Garland, I liked his first movie so much. And this one I like as much, if not maybe more, maybe, but more different more. Like, it's more of a mystery than it is a parable about science. You know, Ex Machina feels like a parable. Like, don't, let's not fuck this up, guys. Cautionary tale, maybe. Annihilation is very different. It infuses science fiction with some very big creative. It's just full of creativity, the movie. The whole purpose of this is that something crash landed in a lighthouse off the coast of some Maryland town or something, right? And what happens is that years pass and there's this like growth. They call it Area X, right, essentially. And in this thing, there's this thing called the Shimmer, which is like this weird force field that keeps growing and growing. It's been expanding over the last 3 years. And they send expeditions in, but nothing ever comes back. No one ever comes back. Nothing ever comes out. No radio signal, nothing. You know, no one knows what's going on in there. And so Natalie Portman's team gets chosen as the next one, all-female cast, and they go in there, try to figure out what's going on. She's a biologist, things like that. There's a lot more complicated things, so I'm not explaining everything. But the whole premise of the movie, which does take its time to get there, I mean, not the premise, not to get into the Shimmer, but to explain things more and more. This is one of the rare movies where it gets everything gets better as the minutes roll by. And by the third act, I can't even imagine you won't be totally more into this movie because of the amazing special effects, the special effects, and as things start coming into light, and I think something I've been hearing called the nightmare bear scene is one of the most horrific scenes I've ever seen.
So you highly recommend this movie?
I really highly recommend this movie, and there's so much to talk about too when she gets into the lighthouse and what happens, and of course the ending. I think there's a lot of things to talk about. The movie does have one or two missteps.
Like this movie.
It does have, I feel, like a period ending, like a ending with a period.
That's how I like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I think it has enough of a period anyway. I mean, others could say it doesn't, but I think it does.
Is it like a pencil period? Like you could erase it kind of period?
Maybe okay. That. Okay, that's very weird. Yeah, I don't know if you like it, but I think there's so much creativity and science fiction ideas here that had never been thought of before that is too good to miss.
Okay.
And the movie, I think, was well-made and well-directed. I just read the book, actually.
That's good.
And they're both very different. but I can't wait to read the next one because it's a trilogy of books. Oh. And I can't wait to read the second one. So that's Annihilation. I highly recommend it. And I think I would love it that much. I know I would like it. Like I was expecting. I had expectations. But they definitely broke them. So.
Okay.
Do you have one?
Yes, I do. I have a 1998 film that I saw.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. My next two movies are older movies.
Okay.
Whoa,
Ralph.
Yeah, and it's the Man in the Iron Mask.
Oh my God, I haven't seen that since the Apollo came out.
Guess when? Yeah, 98.
Yeah,
like it feels a lot older. This movie feels like it was in the '80s or something.
And really?
That for the like, it's just like they did not want to be like, no, we're gonna still use.
You know
all the
why
old
that
equipment.
Movie was so big? It's because it came. It was Leonardo DiCaprio's movie after Titanic.
I never knew.
Yeah, because Titanic was 97.
I didn't see it, but he plays himself twice. Leonardo DiCaprio.
What do you mean he plays himself?
He's two act two. There's
two
he's
roles?
Twins. Yeah.
Oh,
he's twins himself.
And like every actor is. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. He's okay. Twins in the movie. and it's Musketeers, all that stuff. But it just feels really dated. And it's like I don't know what, just felt really dated. Like we're, you know what, we still have use for these X amount of things. Let's go ahead and use them. You know. Why move forward with technology? I don't know, man. It felt kind of like that. But it was, yeah, King Louis is a dick. Like, he's a dick in the movie.
I don't remember the movie at all.
Yeah, he's a complete and utter asshole.
Like, at all.
And then his other better half is not an asshole because he was stuck in jail. That's basically the gist of the movie. Other than that, I mean, it was all right. It wasn't a horrible movie. Yeah, I mean, if you want to see a young Leo, I mean, he's done way better roles, so you don't have to watch that.
True.
I mean, if you want to see him in, like, almost that king post, I would recommend The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I like that. Although, you know, it's very delusional.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, so that's one for you. I saw that documentary, the one best documentary, Icarus, sometime last month, and it's the great thing I want to say about this movie, by the way, it's a political sports documentary in a way. This movie starts off something different, and it turns out to be the opposite.
Yeah, so remember correctly, so this is how I know, I don't even have to watch the movie, as he starts about, he wants to dope himself, right?
Right, he's doping himself with like this great Russian doper guy.
Sure, and he did a race or something, because he's a racer, right? Or a
bicyclist.
He wants to do a race without it, and then he wanted to do one with it, to see what the difference was.
No, the movie kind of focuses on the one with it. He does the whole trial thing, sure. He talks about how long he's been racing, how close he's ever gotten, and his peak.
That's what
he's trying to break that peak.
Sure. I guess that's where I was talking about.
And the movie turns into a scandal that's happening at the same time about Russia, Putin agreeing with. I mean, the Putin thing actually comes in later, so that's like a reveal that comes in later.
Yeah, it's a big
reveal. And it's all facts, obviously, so I'm not spoiling real life here.
Yeah, they basically get a whistleblower.
This Russian guy. By accident, because he's been filming with this American guy who's been filming all this shit, and he finds out, like, he made best friends with him. And even though this Russian guy, I forgot his name, even though they said like 10,000 times in that movie.
Sure.
It's what I love about this movie, anyway, essentially. I don't want to spoil the actual movie, really, but it's fascinating, and it's. It's fucked up, and it's so obvious to all the fears and general concerns we've been having, not on Russia necessarily, because it's not like all Russians are like this,
sure.
But on the idea of like just like careless irresponsibility for something as a sport. It's a fucking sport. Why are we cheating? Doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And Putin, obviously, is a big name in our politics, too.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, but it sounds like fake. Like the stuff that actually happened,
it's not. They do a really good job of diagramming and describing how they did it.
Like
very, very, very like heist,
fake wall very, thing going on.
Yeah,
very. I know it was really crazy.
It was like Ocean's 12.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's a 12. why that one, right?
The worst one.
No, it's the best one. I love that one.
The worst one.
It's the best one. That one so much. It has so much feeling. And
11 is the best.
It's the best one. No. I mean that one's good. It's great, but it's 12.
You're absolutely wrong.
13 is the worst one. We agree, though.
No, I just said 12 is the worst one.
I was like, tricky.
But you got there. You almost got me there. I was like, no, you're not. But they're really close to each other.
Anyway, and I just love how this movie, you know, it starts off as one thing, and it ends up being like a much more global, fucked up, awesome, like, but awesome bad, obviously, political scandal.
Yeah.
And the movie does a good job of showing you that and pacing it just right. So I want to say Icarus, definitely I saw one there. I'm skipping a lot of these because a lot of these are rewatches. I've been watching The Godfathers like ever since they got on Netflix.
If I did rewatches, I'd have as many movies as you.
Oh, I know. I saw the Ocean's Trilogy because they're on Netflix.
I saw Big Trouble Little China.
I saw a Lego Batman movie again.
Jesus. How's this? I have a movie for you that I'm just going to do really quick. This is my last movie, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. I saw the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water. I think it came out in 2015 or 2014. Okay. As you can tell, my kid recently found out SpongeBob SquarePants exists. This is about a month ago. Okay? I have seen so much SpongeBob in a month. I'm done. I'm done, but at the same time, I oddly still like it. And it's on its last season. Go figure. But the movie was it's the movie where they did like that weird like because he's out of the water, so they do like the live version of them outside. And it's really weird. I remember they heavily advertised this when it was coming out, that he's like, oh, like SpongeBob, we're not doing a movie with them in Bikini Bottom or whatever and down and all animated. They're outside being superheroes or whatever. And it's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was some interesting casting, some interest. For kids, I guess it was okay. But even my kid was like, meh, I'm done with this. Like, he wanted the animated version of it, you know?
Yeah.
But it was weird for them to try it out. But it's still funny. They still have really funny puns and pun little things that go on with Patrick and what's it called? SpongeBob. So,
okay. Yeah. Cool.
I mean, not much complaints. But, I mean, I expected absolutely nothing from this movie.
All right.
So, I mean, I guess it could only go up, right?
I guess so. Yeah. Let's see, another one I saw here. I'm skipping a lot of them because I think I said enough about them, actually. I saw Bright, which is that big movie that Netflix con.
Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that.
It's not very good. I think it handles exposition very bad.
What I really want from the movie is that they're trying to... I thought it was a show, when I first...
Oh, really?
I thought it was a show, and I found out it was a movie. So I was hoping the world building is good enough because I think they're trying to do more movies without him in that world.
Well, I know they greenlit a second film. You know, but I don't know how related they're going to be. So, but that's, I don't know, just, it's a movie that isn't terrible either, though. It's blah, it's just whatever. And they use actors in the wrong way. They could have used actors in a better way. So, it's whatever on that one. Some of the action's okay, though. Anyway, I saw this movie called Sweet Virginia, which stars the guy from Black...
The
other Marvel thing, The Punisher.
Just because he wears black doesn't mean it starts with black.
No, I was just thinking Marvel, and I went to Black Panther because it's the last one I saw, so just in my head, it came out that way. Oh my god, where is it? Okay, here it is. Yeah, Jamie M. Dagg. Anyway, it stars that dude, John Bernthal. That's his
super
name.
Helpful. Okay, John
Bernthal. A former rodeo champ befriends a young man with a propensity for violence. A very strange way to put it.
Thank god I didn't finish that sentence for you.
Propensity.
I was going to say prosthetic leg.
Oh, man, I would have said something. I almost said prosperity. I'm like, what? it's an interesting movie. It's one of those re-watches from last year that came out last year that I was trying to see before the top 10. And it's a good movie. His acting is definitely really good. I wish that some of the pacing work was a little better. But essentially, it opens with this guy doing like a triple murder for seemingly really dumbass reasons. That comes to light later, of course. And the whole point is that this small town gets racked by these murders suddenly. But it's not about the town itself. It's more about the mood and state of being with these two, one of them being the killer, who's a cold fish kind of guy who's faking it to make it, and John Bernthal's character, who's having some trouble and trying to get past all that shit, and then, you know, having a confrontation at the end. It's a good movie in that regard, but it's a very low-key movie.
My apologies.
No, it's okay. Did I ever talk about Phantom Thread here or no?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So I want to talk about just two more and then that's it for me. Oh no, The Post also. No, just, I'll
go ahead, say them both.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So The Phantom Thread, The Phantom Thread only. I saw that and it's, this is Paul Thomas Anderson, right, doing it. So he is he's a very strange guy. This is I heard it described, so I would have described it as a love movie or a...
See, that's what I thought it was.
You know, romantic movie?
Yeah. But it's a love movie towards, like, the clothes, right?
No, it's not that.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
I mean, there is love in that for sure, but it's not just that. No. So what I would have described as a love movie before, and before I heard someone describe it as, it's not a love movie, it's a relationship movie. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm with you on that one, because I feel like the love that usually goes along with these movies, you know, lovey-dovey kind of thing, it's not really there. It's there in a way. Affection's definitely there, and the relationship movie, it's more like that. It's more the workings of that kind of movie, of a love, of a relationship movie, than it is just pure love. Okay. And it's Paul Thomas Anderson's maybe his strangest film, you know, and it stars Vicky Creeps, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Leslie Manville, and those three people make the film.
It's a horrible name to have.
Creeps?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that she does.
She did not get
just as good of a name, just as good of a job.
There's no way she did not get bullied in school. Like,
probably.
Vicky, you're such a creep. I get it, because your last name's a Creeps.
Maybe they didn't know, and she kept her last name. No, it's the. No. I've never seen it before, this movie either. And this movie works in subtlety. This movie works in bonkers also, by the general, like. When you see the mushroom omelet, you'll know what I mean, I guess, when you see the movie.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. And there's a little bit of the supernatural in there, a little bit, like a little, I mean, just the tiniest, tiny bit about concerning Daniel Day-Lewis's character's mother. And not supernatural per se, but just the way he shows this feels like very supernatural. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's a whole movie. It's very expressionistic and complicated and very interesting. And I still don't know really what I believe, why they do certain things or why certain things happen or what's the end result of it. But I'm satisfied enough to say that I like where it went, and I like how the couple managed to work something out, at least for the short term. So, and Phantom Thread is really good. And obviously the design and directing is all amazing. And the movie I saw was The Post, which is Steven Spielberg's latest film.
Which is Meryl Streep's nomination here.
Right, Meryl Streep nominated for best, was it best supporting, right? Or best...
No, but best actress, I think.
Was it best actress? You're right.
No, might have been supporting. I don't know.
No, I already forgot. Like, we already passed the Oscars. Yeah. yeah, it's not her best role. I mean, she's good in it, but I wouldn't nominate her. Anyway, whatever. The Post is about the whole Washington Post scandal. Not scandal, but the whole Washington Post debate, where they were trying to decide to either or not to release the Pentagon Vietnam Papers.
That's right, yeah.
This is before... Right before, like months before the whole Watergate scandal. So, like, basically one leads to the other. Like, if they hadn't, for example, if Washington Post and also New York Times, too, they were going through some rough times, too. If they hadn't been successful, and obviously if they've been successfully sued by the president, you know, to posting this shit, as you know, because it's supposed to be classified, right?
Yeah.
If they were successful, if they were unsuccessful at posting this shit and making it out there for the world, the Watergate scandal would have been virtually nothing and maybe not even discovered.
Oh,
that's the, okay, also the idea, okay, for it. So the movie's heavy on the journalistic yay us kind of thing, but not in your face or anything. It's more about the daily, you know, the meetings that goes along with making that decision. And
right.
Meryl Streep plays a character who owns the actual Washington Post. And then, you know, the lead editor guy is Tom Hanks, and they, you know, they correlate a lot. They have some talks, and there's a, you know, bunch of journalistic stuff. There's a lot of like little subplots that leads into the main story that I feel like is the main problem in this movie, where I feel like there are other characters that they show us or other plots.
That just go nowhere?
No, that would have been amazing if that was the movie. And it makes you want to watch those movies.
But instead it sticks to like...
Yeah, and it's just like unnecessarily kind of boring in some areas. I didn't think we needed it. I liked it. I loved some of that stuff they were saying about, you know, how back in these old days, journalists used to be friends with the politicians, not just... not just like as subjects, you know, and how that era is changing in the movie, you know, how they're becoming, what, you know, more vilified. You know, they're the villains against the politics.
That same thing happens in the other movie, the Watergate one, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
The very famous movie.
Are you talking about All the King's Men or whatever?
Yeah.
They're not friends with any politicians.
Right. The same thing before. We used to all these.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talking about,
I guess,
how, like, the, yeah, old timers were like, oh, yeah, we used to.
Except, like, Meryl Streep is best friends with the Secretary of Defense, who she's going to take down with these Vietnam Papers, for example.
Right.
So, this shit like that. And all that's interesting. I just feel like the movie, I didn't know. I didn't. The surprising element for me is beyond the fact that it was kind of boring for me, is that it does show a lot about women in workforce areas. Like, because Meryl Streep is the only woman almost in every room she's in. And that's kind of weird. And the movie plays into that, saying...
And she got that role because it's her father's paper, right?
Right, her husband killed himself, and then the father died, and she inherited the paper. And, right. But she's, you know...
like, literally.
And
like,
it takes almost the entire movie to find her voice, in a way. But she's, like, always, almost always in a room full of guys who are trying to tell her what to do. And it's a very, very female-empowering movie in the end. So that was surprising. But that's, like, completely different from the actual story, so I don't know what to think. And the movie, I don't know, I just didn't... I don't think it... It did a lot of interesting showing things. I didn't think it did it in such interesting ways. I think the stuff they were writing were interesting. It didn't get very far from me.
Okay.
So that's the post. And that's my kind of last one. I'm not going to go through all the others.
It's okay. You can ramble them off if you want.
No. It's okay. Oh, do you have one?
No.
Because a lot of these movies are like really old that I've only seen. I saw Rebecca for the first time, which I hear is basically Phantom Thread. It's an adaptation from Rebecca. But I'll talk about that, you know, some other time. Not a big deal. It's an old movie. I usually don't talk about old movies because then I really will be here forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make it my mission. Every other week, I'm gonna go to the movies. So, at least, so I'll be going to, without a movie that we're reviewing.
Right.
So yeah.
Okay. So I believe that is it for our show. You have been listening to Another Movie Podcast. You can find us for feedback. I mean, you can send that to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think of everything we talked about, the Oscars and whatnot, and as we roll into this year full on. What else? You can find our own show and our podcast, all of our episodes, bonus episodes and whatnot, at otherpodcast.com. Roth, do you know that now that we're in March, you know what the bonus episode for March is? For those
with basketball.
No. It's what?
You say basketball? March Madness.
Oh. Is that...
Don't worry about it. Yes, sure. Basketball, college basketball. You don't know anything about it. I know. Sure. Just, I threw you out for the loop. I have no clue what our March is, but go ahead. Tell
us. Red Sparrow.
Ooh, good luck with that one.
Wait, good luck. You don't want to see that?
Not watching that.
Why not? I heard it was really good.
I heard it was not that good.
Wait, who? By who?
By whom?
Whom?
Fuck you. No, I have no clue what this movie's about.
But you never seen the trailer?
Well, maybe I have. I don't know. I'm really bad at things. I'm really good at forgetting things, which makes movie going for me amazing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm good at not seeing things. Okay, you're watching it, so it's going to be good. So I'm going to learn to like it. Red Sparrow, it's a Jennifer Lawrence starring film. You know, she basically, it looks like the Black Widow origin story.
That's all right, I guess. I remember now.
Now you're like, I don't know. Anyway. So, yeah, that's what we'll be doing for our bonus episode this month. You can, again, otherpodcast.com to find out how and why. You can get that stuff back.
Go ahead and follow us on Facebook, Twitter as well. I try to post on Facebook because Oscar doesn't. But Oscar hopefully takes care of Twitter.
I don't.
Honestly.
I haven't even gone on Twitter in a while.
Rough.
Yeah. Is there a dog in the house?
Yeah.
And last but not least, if you want to find us on Twitter, you can do so for me anyway, at Armin Filmmaker, which is Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. And you can find the list of movies that I was reading off on, the things I've been watching over on Letterboxd under the same name. Ralph?
So you can follow me on Twitter at GamerRalph. That's with two R's and an F. And you can follow me technically on Letterboxd because I just got an account yesterday at... this is an interesting one, okay, guys? All right. It's Ralph Armendariz. So it's my name, Rafa, Raf, with Armendariz, and my last name on Letterboxd. You can figure that one out. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And next time, we'll not be coming exactly 2 weeks from now. We're releasing this in the middle of the week. Usually, we release on the weekends. I'm just going to release this as soon as possible because the Oscars just finished the other day. Yesterday? No, day before. So I'm going to release it as soon as possible, and what I'll do is that we'll come back in 2 weeks and change for our first main three review thing we're going to be doing, and we'll come back full on strong. Until then, I am Oscar.
Ralph.
See you later.
I'm yawning.
Yeah. Look, everything in this world is running exactly on schedule. Besides, to leave, we probably have to wait until the movie's over or something.
Well, when is that going to happen?
You ever know that you're my hero?
No, I didn't know that. Give me your hand. I want to eat it. Leo? Oh, thank you.
Help me!
No, no. Stop it. Stop turning my knobs. No, no, it's not funny. No. Well, you laugh and he likes that. Stop it, Leo. See?
Leo, don't do it. Go watch your iPad.
Go. I'm going to tickle you.
Go tell Tio that he put Spider-Man on for you.
Daddy!
Tobey Maguire or...
No, a shitty version of cartoons that came out on Disney.
With, no, okay.
but Spider-Man... yeah. On the TV, on the Comcast remote.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
No lo hagas. No, mijo. Que no. No, mijo. Don't touch. Don't touch. No, mijo. It's not nice.